Well, good evening, campers.
Evening.
Oh, that's terrible. Good evening, campers.
Good evening.
Oh, I got Matt as well. That's exciting. I just wanted to say that before I start, that I must have upset Paul a few years ago because every morning this week he's had a horse's head on me. So Ethan, or Nathaniel, sorry, my friend, 12 years I've been coming to camp. Every year I've had a horse's head on. I don't know what that's about. Anyway, it is very nice to be here and to share with you this evening. I'm really loud, so I'll move it down one because I shout. Anybody notice that? Yeah. Well, I wanted to start with that, actually, because on Monday, I was watching the losers' final of the volleyball because we were in the winners' final. Anyway, we did still lose. All right. Let me get to the punchline, son. Anyway, so there I was watching the losers' final, and Kenny mentioned this on Monday evening. Kenny came off the volleyball court, and he said to me, you know, we're just like Jesus. We're just too humble. We didn't want to win. And I said, Kenny, I said, please, for everyone's sake, do not watch this game. A, we are not that humble. And B, my testimony will be in tatters. I don't know what it is about camp or about sport in general, but I am super, super competitive, or so I'm told. Anybody agree with it? Yeah. See, I struggle with that, and I challenge anyone, to be fair. Just making sure you're listening. But I do remember, and I don't know whether it comes from this as a young kid, I do remember sort of 8, 9, 10 years old. I was the smallest in my class, in my year. I was tiny. I didn't grow until I was about 15 years old, and literally it happened overnight, which is why I've got lumps on my knees, if anybody's noticed that. Somebody's got sympathy. Anyway. But I remember being the smallest and being the last to be picked at everything. It didn't matter what the sport was, I was last. And it got to the point, you know, when everybody's picking, and it's not the fact that they want to pick you, it's just the evening the numbers out. Yeah, that was me. Hello. And then when I reached 15, everything changed. I grew, I got loud, and it sort of took over. But anyway, our story starts tonight with that similar sort of a tale, that this evening we're going to have a look at a young man called David, and he is the last guy to be picked. This shepherd boy out on the hillside, he is small and insignificant, and nobody has even given him a second thought. But God has a very different plan. If you've got your Bibles with you, we're going to have a look at 1 Samuel chapter 16. And I'm just going to read for you 13 verses, that's all. And it starts like this. It won't be up on the screen. I was at church then for a minute. Nobody else was. Okay. So the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." If you're an underliner, underline the one I indicate. Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord, to consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." I'm just going to pause a second. Last night, James prayed for rain during the reading so that he didn't mind mispronouncing the names. Okay. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Jesse then made Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse answered, but he's tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. He is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of the brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Shall we just pray? Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight that we are able to come into your presence. And we pray, Lord God, that as we've read your word, as we look now into your word, that you might just open up our hearts and our minds. That, Lord, you might encourage us through what you've got to say through your word. That, Lord, you might speak through me. And, Father, we pray that hearts tonight might hear, that minds might hear. And that, Lord, that you would make it so aware that tonight you are standing at the door and knocking. And we pray, Father God, that the door might be opened. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity. And we pray, Father, as we share together, that you might bless us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So Samuel, just to lay a little bit of backstory, Samuel is God's chosen judge at this time in Israel's history. And the theologians among us all know that we're drifting into what's called the United Kingdom stage. And God called him as a young boy. And now he's been tasked with going to anoint Israel's next king, the future king, if you like. And he's given some really simple instructions with very little detail. In verse 3, it says, invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. And that's literally all he gets. Samuel, this is what I want you to do. Just go. And with that, well, Samuel goes. And when he gets there, he does what's required, and he sees this tall, handsome, strapping lad. Tom Moody, where are you? Stand up, brother. Nothing like that. Sit down. He sees... It were always coming, weren't it? He sees this tall, strapping, handsome lad. And he says this in verse 6. He says, when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. Samuel looked at Eliab's outward appearance and thought, surely this is the man. Surely this is Israel's future king. But the Lord, well, he tells him no. And in my terminology, because I work down in Leicester, I live in Nottinghamshire, and my wife's from Yorkshire. Why did Yorkshire get a whoop? And I'm from Derbyshire. Terrible. But I would say, the Lord said, he ain't the boy. No, no, no. And he says this to Samuel in verse 7. Just listen to what he says. And I want you to listen to what he says because it's important to where we're going this evening. The Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his outward appearance or his height, for I've rejected him. Listen to this. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance. But the Lord, he looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. And you know, this continues for 6 other sons. Can you imagine? Samuel must have been sweating. Like, you've sent me here. I didn't have a great amount of detail. I've literally done what you've told me to do. And this poor bloke, Jesse, that you are literally sending every single one in front of me. And I'm, no, 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 this is awkward. Jesse, Jesse must have been sweating as well, bless him. He's like, have you got any other sons? Verse 10 and 11. Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? And he says, well, there's the youngest, but he's tending the sheep. He's a nobody from nowhere. Anybody relate to that? Okay, you're all somebody. I related to it. I was nobody from nowhere. He's still, there's still the youngest, and he's not even been considered. And Samuel's like, go get him. And David, this boy out on the hill, comes before Samuel, and the Lord says, he's the one. He is the one. And to everyone's amazement, Samuel, right there in front of all of the family, Samuel anoints David the future king of Israel. And David was to become Israel's finest king. But some struggle, heartache, and waiting had to come first. Let me say that again and listen. He was going to become Israel's finest king, but there was some struggle, some heartache, and some waiting to come first. And what struck me about the story was Samuel's lack of detail. That God told him to go, and Samuel had to trust that God had the detail in hand. But the same's to be said of David. You're David, you're out on the hillside, you're doing what you're supposed to do, you do not even know that there is a meeting going off at home. Nobody's even bothered to tell you. You are nobody from nowhere, completely and utterly insignificant, in the middle of a field. And all of a sudden, his dad comes to him and says, you're needed. You've got to come and let's see what's about to happen. So David, obedient to his father, comes before Samuel. And both men stepped, and they were obedient without the detail. My question tonight to us is, are we willing to do the same? Are we willing to be obedient without the details? You know, so many times in my Christian walk, as I think about the things that the Lord's asked me to do, or I feel like the Lord's leading in this particular way, I just want some information. Give me something. You know, it's all right. Anybody write a list? Anybody a list writer? I love a list. All the people who go to Hope Church know that I love a list. I absolutely adore a list. Because the reason being is you can tick things off. You feel like you're achieving, yeah? So I want to go before God and I want to say, right, God, here's my list. This is what I want to know. I want to know the ins, the outs, the backs and the fronts. Tell me everything and then I'll be willing to step. But these two men have been completely and utterly obedient and they've had no detail whatsoever. Some of you know that we're part of a church in Gainsborough, Hope Church, Gainsborough. Clearly nobody's listening. We Lol and I and Lulu and Crawford, some of you know, we planted the church about almost 9 years ago. And I'm not telling you that for any other reason than I can be real with you, okay? 9 years ago, we felt like this is what the Lord was calling us to do. Go to Gainsborough and start a church. We drove over the bridge. We were like, Lord, are you sure it's Gainsborough? You know, I mean, Hawaii looks good. You know, Italy, I can learn the language. But no, Gainsborough it was. And as we drove over the Trent I remember thinking to myself, how can we be sure? And I remember having the conversations with friends and family. How can we possibly know? Lord, I need some detail. Give me some meat to the bones. Tell me that this is what we're supposed to be doing. It feels like it's right, but feelings don't go anywhere. Because tomorrow, well, when it's Monday particularly, don't like Mondays. Anybody else? Just me? Brilliant. You weren't quick enough, sorry. And I think, well, you know, today it feels good, tomorrow it might not feel good. Feelings don't get us anywhere. And I remember sort of saying to the Lord, Lord, I'm just desperate for some detail. And I remember family and friends saying, you know, if this is what you believe the Lord wants you to do, then you've got to step into it. You've got to go for it. And they're great words, great encouragement, and lots of verses and things were shared, and you can hear the Lord speaking. But I wanted a list. I really wanted a list. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. And I wanted to say, Lord, you know, are people going to come? That's the first thing. Will people arrive? And then more to the point, will they stay? I'm just checking you're listening. And then you say, well, God, you know, if you're not going to give me anything, just give me something. And if I'm being honest with you tonight, is that all right? Is this a safe place? If I'm being honest with you tonight, well, the detail never came. And I prayed about it, and we asked about it, and we inquired of the Lord, and the detail never came. It only started to unfold when we stepped. Get over the bridge, get the building, I'll do the rest. Amen? Now, in Gainsborough, the response is normally, amen. I'll try again. So we went over the bridge, we got the building, and the Lord did the rest. Amen? Amen? There we go. I feel like you're warming. But you see, in this situation, Samuel's obedience and David's obedience, well, they led them to two very different things. Samuel was completely and utterly obedient, and it led him to the future king of Israel. And I don't know whether you've ever thought about this, but I'd encourage you to think about this tonight, and that's what we're going to look at. That David's obedience, it led him to a giant. Have you ever seen that? That just a chapter on, David's obedience led him to a giant. Just a few verses on, it tells us in chapter 17 that David, this newly appointed king, this future king, Saul's still king at the moment, David is now on the cheese run. Nobody saw that coming, did they? David is on the cheese run to the front line as Israel are facing the Philistines. David is on the run with cheese in his hand. Today's weather was rain with light breeze. Brie is cheese, all right? So try and keep with the flow. But, you know, I won't do any more because God's greater. I'm sorry, I can't bear it anymore. So David, what he does is he brings the cheese to the front line to his brothers who are staring at this vast army and this giant that's almost 10 feet tall. And David looks at the giant and he says, who is this bloke who is defiling the armies of God? Who is he? Who is he that he thinks he can stand up against my God? Who is he? And the whole of Israel were petrified. But David, he made the decision, the big decision, the huge decision, to stand up to the giant that was stood in front of him. It was rooted, David's bravery, his courage, his strength was rooted in his knowledge and his understanding of God, that God is going to beat the giant. Who is this man that he thinks he can stand up against my God? I wonder if you've ever considered that God might have put you in a position to face the giant. If that's for me, I'll grab it in a second. But David, you see, he was obedient without the detail. God led him straight to that giant. God didn't leave him there, though. God didn't even prevent it from happening. God allowed it to happen because he knew that there was something that David could learn out of this confrontation. There was something that David could learn out of this situation. And David, I am sure, developed his faith during this moment. And we can so often believe that God, when God is doing what God is supposed to do as far as we're considered or what we think, then everything's going to be comfortable and wonderful. Anybody else? Nobody's going to put the hand up. Anybody else think like that? You don't need to put your hand up. But if it's comfortable, that's got to be God. When I read my Bible, I do not see that. I see a God who continually takes us out of our comfort zone. And he tries us, and he tests us in the way. And he says, come on, this is how your faith's going to grow. You all know the little bookmark that you've got, that in the valleys that we grow, isn't it? And what's in the valley? Well, it's hard, isn't it? Obviously, it's hard for me. The rest of you are all fine with it. But you see, I want to ask you tonight is, what are you facing? What fight are you facing? What giant are you facing? And are you there tonight wondering, what is God doing? Has he gone golfing? Is he on summer holiday? What is he doing? Because I'm asking and I'm getting nothing back. I'm saying, Lord, I want detail. You're not giving me anything. And what we have to do in these moments, and we all experience them, don't think you're special. We are all human beings and we all experience the hard times and the valleys. And when we're in those moments, the Lord tells us that we are to draw near to him and he will draw near to us. Amen? And we're to draw near to God. We're to look into his word. We're to grow and to find that God is in control and to trust him. You know, what we can't do, and this is what we can't do, is attempt to do and to fix and to make the way ourselves. You know, one of the best analogies that I could find for this is when Moses went up the mountain to go and get the Ten Commandments. You know the story. He was up there for 40 days and 40 nights. And in that time, Israel, who have experienced all this wonder that God has done, in just 40 days and 40 nights have gone, oh, God's gone. Listen, our leader's left, God's left. Listen how quiet it is. There's nothing. What shall we do? Let's melt down all our jewelry. Let's make a calf and let's worship that golden calf. And Moses comes down the mountain. He's like, what are you doing? Oh, we thought you'd gone. Because I've heard nothing. It's been really quiet. And we can make rash decisions. Now, you might not melt down your jewelry and make a golden calf to worship, but what we can do is say, God, you're not fitting my time scale. You're not fitting my time scale. So I'm going to make my own way. I'm going to pick my own things. I'm going to make my own list, and I'm going to make my own detail. And I want to be brave tonight, if I haven't already been, that God does not always meet your expectations. That never gets an amen. It's never had one yet. But God does not always meet our expectations. But let me tell you this evening, that his promises are yes and amen. He may not meet our agenda, but I can tell you from what I read in his word and from what I know in my life, he will never, ever, ever fail. And he will never leave me nor forsake me. Isn't that what his word says over and over again? Those that are his are always his. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's not going to prevent the battle, but what he is going to do is give you the strength to get through it. Amen? And this is what we need to drill down into. You think about Paul as he penned the words in 2 Corinthians, and let me just read this to you. He says this, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. This is the thorn in his flesh, the one thing that he couldn't shake off. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. What a lesson we can learn there from Paul. As a leader, that is something there that we can cling on to and we can say, okay, Paul got it. And I want to just take you back in the minute that I've got left. But remember that David and what God was looking at. Remember, God was looking at not the outward appearance, but God was looking at David's heart. And so tonight, he's doing exactly the same with you. And the question is, what is he seeing? Is he seeing somebody that is unwilling to budge? Somebody who's desperate for detail, and until it happens, I am not stepping? Or is he seeing somebody with a heart that says, Lord, I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I know you do. I might not have the strength today to deal with what tomorrow brings, but I know that when I get to tomorrow, you're going to give me the strength that I need. And also tonight, if you have been on camp this last week and you've listened and you've heard about a God who loves you beyond measure, a God who was willing to give his very best for you in Jesus Christ. And you have the opportunity tonight, as you've had over the last few nights, to say, Lord, my heart is desperate for you. And I've been desperate for detail. I've been desperate for you to show me more. But Lord, what I need to do tonight is to trust, is to listen and to trust, and in obedience be willing to step. You know, the big decision is yours. And the question is where is your heart? Will you choose to accept or will you reject? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight we have looked into your word and we have seen that you are a God who's in control. So often, Lord, we do not have the detail, but you call us to be obedient. Your word tells us that you're never going to leave us or forsake us. And Father, we have those opportunities in our life to step into what you've called us to. And I pray, Lord, that we might be willing to do that and to listen and to hunker down into your word. And two, Lord, we pray tonight for those that haven't yet made that decision, Father, with their heart to say, I am yours. Father, forgive me for my sin. Come into my life and change me from the inside out. And we pray tonight, Lord God, that if there is anybody here that doesn't yet know you as Lord and Savior, that they might make that decision, that big decision, that life-changing decision to accept you as their Lord and Savior. Bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.